Move over, superheroes. This is the Superhuman Channel. The following paid program does not necessarily reflect the views or opinions of the staff and management of Tri-Scepter Productions or the Superhuman Channel. Tri-Scepter Productions and the Superhuman Channel are not responsible for any claims, warranties, or guarantees made during this program.
Prepare to experience the strongest radio allowable by law. Secrets will be revealed. Myths dispelled.
From the studio gym where excuses never apply,
it's Superhuman Radio with your host, Carl Lenore.
Hey, welcome back to Superhuman Radio. Sorry, I was just chewing my pre-show Quest protein bar. Man, I love these things. Anyway, we've got a great show planned for you today. Of course, today is installment number 10 of the roundtable discussion on strength and hypertrophy acquisition with Rob Regish and Coach Wade Johnson. We're going to get into that in just a second. We're going to be talking about all things cardiovascular. How important is it? When should you do it? Should you do it? And what should you expect out of it? Later in the show, we're going to have John Moody on, and we're going to be talking about some legislature that may affect your access to healthy foods. Just want to make an announcement. We've got a huge, huge guest coming on next Friday. Next Friday, the second hour of Casual Friday, we will have Uber lobbyist Jack Abramoff coming on. Many of you remember Jack. About 5 years ago, he was sentenced because of his ability to corrupt politicians. Could you imagine that? Jack corrupted them by bribing them to get things done. He was the most successful lobbyist on Capitol Hill. He ran the most successful lobbying firm on Capitol Hill. Well, he switched sides, folks, and he's going to be coming on my show next week, and he's going to talk about corruption, the FDA, the government, and why the government feels comfortable selling us to the highest bidder, companies like Monsanto and so on. This is going to be a huge show. Don't miss it next Friday. Okay. Welcome back to the show, Coach Johnson.
Good to be with you guys again.
And Rob Regish.
Likewise. Thanks
okay.
for having us back,
Carl. All right. So we've actually received emails from people from time to time asking this question. Where does cardio training fit into all of this? Is it important? I've actually had people ask me, does Coach Johnson do cardio? Which I'm going to be looking forward to that answer as well. I want to start with Rob Regish, and I'll tell you why. I want to start with Rob Regish just for a second because I feel that his perception of this whole process has a lot to do with the aesthetic gains as well as the strength gains. So I'm curious about Rob's opinion of cardiovascular training. First of all, Rob, do you personally do any type of cardio?
Yes, did it this morning, as a matter of fact.
What time?
About 5 a.m.
Okay, you had me beat. I didn't get on the treadmill until 6 this morning, but okay. I would imagine you do it fasted.
I do, sir.
Okay, so do I. Okay, so why do you even bother doing cardio?
Well, we have a couple reasons why we do that in the blueprint, personally speaking, I use it for a couple different things, one of which is I do use it to recover faster from my weight training. I also use it as a tool to facilitate blood flow, to improve injuries, and overall build a better conditioning base so that I can move more weights per unit of time. So I look at it as a means to a different end, which is I use cardio to improve my weight training.
That's surprising to me, and I have to flip right over to Coach Johnson now, because I have to believe that in those whose sole desire is to gain strength and move amazing amounts of weight, which the powerlifting industry is all about. If we even have superhumans on this planet, it has to be the powerlifters. I would think that cardio is not a good thing. What do you think about that, Wade?
Well, I think there's a delicate balance in cardiovascular training versus I think what Rob is saying, using cardiovascular training to improve another type of training, like powerlifting or strength training or even bodybuilding for that matter. So I think it's one of those things where you have to maintain a balance where it can't be so much that it doesn't help your recovery, doesn't help your conditioning. As a powerlifter, I've always done some sort of cardio training 2 to 3 times a week. As I have started dropping weight, that has I've placed more of an emphasis on it. But at the height of my strength training, I still use cardio, whether it be mostly I use a recumbent bike or, you know, Olympic style training where I'm doing several reps in a row, or even strongman training, flipping a tire, dragging a sled, things of those nature.
Okay, now, Rob, isn't it common knowledge amongst the quote unquote hardcore bodybuilding world that doing cardio anytime outside of pre-contest, it actually will make you weaker and regress your gains? We even had, this folklore goes so far back that Peter Grimkowski was on my show not so long ago talking about the amount of steroids that bodybuilders and powerlifters used to use in the 70s, which was amazing. Powerlifters were using up to 20 grams a day, by the way, of orals and injectables leading up to a competition. But nonetheless, he even implied that he avoided cardio because of the gravitational effects on muscle. He said that a lot of guys ended up with sagging muscles and their bodies changed shape when they did cardio all the time. Why do cardio then, Rob?
I think it's it boils down to this, Carl. People are better educated today, and that opinion is changing. Now, I would agree with you. Back in the day, one of my mantras used to be, nobody ever got big doing cardio. Well, you know, the fact of the matter is this. There are different types of cardio. Let's look at low-intensity, steady-state cardio, the classic example being an endurance runner. Those folks are emaciated. They're the furthest thing from what I want to be and what most of my folks want to be. However, let's also look at the example of a sprinter who runs repeated sprints. The physique on a sprint, there are sprinters that look like bodybuilders.
Yeah.
And why? You're talking about a different type of cardio, which involves a higher, much higher intensity threshold, and by definition, that is kept up, can only be kept up over a shorter distance or period of time.
Okay, so with that being said, do you espouse a high-intensity type protocol, Rob, for yourself?
We do. I have a whole section on this in 3.0. There are three different types of cardio that I will recommend to folks. The first and at the tip of the spear is high-intensity interval training. And, you know, as an example, I just saw some breaking research that Professor Andro had on his blog about how that upregulates protein synthesis in both men and women. So, you know, there's one example. The second would be some form of general physical preparedness. And by this, I mean dragging a weighted sled, pushing a wheelbarrow. You know, I did sled dragging this morning. That will get a tremendous, you know, your heart will be pumping, believe me.
Rob, I think that letting your car run out of gas and pushing it to the gas station hardly qualifies as sled dragging this morning.
it's still great exercise. And the third one is your classic low-intensity, steady-state jogging or just fast walking. And there's a time and a place, because what you will find is, let's say after a particularly heavy leg day, you're going to try to hit that recumbent bike or, you know, your sprint session and duplicate your prior high-intensity interval training cardio session. What you're going to find is, because the legs are fatigued, you can't. You can't do it justice. And cardio is done in that fashion. It is a very intense, both physically and psychological exercise. You can't always do that. There is a time and a place, and on those days when you can't physically or mentally perform it, you know, low-intensity, steady state.
Wade, when you do sled dragging, do you ever do farmer's walks as cardio?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I'll use farmer's walks. I'll use tire flipping. I'll use the yoke. I've done reps with a stone, things of that nature. So I'm still getting strength training in. But the repetition work, you know, for anyone that's done, like if you've loaded a stone 3 times, like to height, you know, three reps, it will definitely hit your cardio. Walking with the weight in the farmer's walk, you know, it's the same thing. And I got to agree with Rob. Like, a lot of times I squat on Tuesdays, so Wednesdays is an auxiliary day. That's when I will do my low-intensity cardio.
And do you, what do you do for low-intensity cardio before we go into the break?
I use a recumbent bike.
You just sit down, and how
absolutely.
Long how long will you do cardio for on the bike?
20 to 30 minutes, but generally 30 minutes.
And it's really, at that point in time, it's just for the reperfusion effect of getting the blood in and out of the muscle, nothing really heroic. You're just kind of maybe watching TV and pedaling for a while.
I listen to music and you know, it's quiet time in the gym for me, you know, where I can just kind of think and, you know, get my day started, and it allows me to recover from the Monday and Tuesday heavy workouts.
Wait, you were supposed to say you listen to Superhuman Radio. Not music.
Podcast.
That's when I listen to Superhuman Radio. Yes, of course, Wade. All right, look, we have to take a quick commercial break. I've got lots of questions about cardio. You're listening to the roundtable discussion on strength and hypertrophy acquisition with Rob Regish and Coach Wade Johnson. You can learn more about Rob's blueprint, the finest, the Google of all training manuals. Rob puts everything together that everybody else talks about that works into one manual. You get a copy of it by going to superhumanradio.com and clicking the blueprint banner ad. Wade, please give the websites that you like to promote for people to reach out to you.
You can post your workouts, ask questions on weightliftingdiscussion.com. You can find me on Facebook. You can email me at supersquat800@yahoo.com. And you can find out about Ogreware at johnsonstrengthgroup.com.
Did you see my picture on Facebook yesterday wearing my Ogreware shirt?
I did indeed. I'm glad you got it.
I love it. All right, stay tuned. We'll be right back with more Superhuman Radio. Your goals, longevity, endurance, vitality, or wellness? Well, you'll find everything you're looking for at uscellwellness.com. USL Wellness was founded on the belief that total well-being begins at the most basic cellular level. Their natural supplements are designed to work with the body to achieve health and vitality. Their formulas are backed by a team of nutritional researchers, healthcare professionals, and nutritional supplement biochemists. Whether you're concerned for your own wellness or a clinician caring for others, it all starts at uscellwellness.com. Save 20% off your first purchase when you use the coupon code SUPER. If you want to be superhuman, you can't eat junk. Finally, there's a protein bar that isn't just candy in disguise. Quest protein bars have 20 grams of protein, 4 to 5 grams of non-fiber carbs, and the only bars on the market with no sugar or sugar alcohols. I've never promoted a protein bar before, but these are delicious and unlike any other protein bars you've ever tried before. They're so good that Quest Nutrition is giving away 2 free bars to all my listeners, even free shipping. Go to superhumanradio.com right now and click the Quest protein bar banner ad to try them today. 6-Oxo is back thanks to Iron Mag Lab, the gold standard for testosterone boosting and estrogen reduction that all other over-the-counter aromatase inhibitors are compared to, is 6-oxoprogesterone. 6-oxo is the active ingredient in the new E-Control RX from Iron Mag Labs. Iron Mag Labs has resurrected the beast that has been clinically shown to raise free testosterone by as much as 226%. As men age, estrogen rises and testosterone drops. E-Control RX can help reverse this from happening. E-Control RX is suitable for post-cycle therapy to jumpstart natural testosterone production. Get E-Control RX today. Go to ironmaglabs.com today. Thousands of Superhuman Radio listeners already know how well GLC 2000 works at repairing joints and cartilage, and it's the best price on the market, milligram for milligram. Now GLC Direct is offering a special that my listeners can take advantage of. Buy one, get one free of any GLC 2000 product. That's right, buy one of your favorite GLC 2000 products and get one free. Capsules or raw powder. Just mention Superhuman Radio and buy one, get one free today. Call 866-452-3473 or click the GLC banner ad on superhumanradio.com. Offer limited to one per household. Sissies may want to stop listening now. Super DMZ is the most powerful legal compound available on the market today, bar none. Super DMZ will give you lean muscle and strength gains at comparable rates to the anabolic steroid Dianabol with none of the water retention or bloat. Super DMZ contains Superdrol dimethazine, not to be confused with other Superdrol knockoffs. Get Super DMZ while supplies last at Iron Mag IronMagLabs.com. Don't wait too long because Super DMZ is sure to be added to the government ban list. Go to IronMagLabs.com today.
I have never endorsed a training guide before, The Blueprint by Rob Regish. The Blueprint combines the best techniques for building muscle and gaining strength with the best tips on supplementation and nutrition. Everyone who has used The Blueprint has surpassed their expectations in muscular gains in record time. You'll learn how to break through any plateau, how to make gains from every single workout, and all for the price of a single supplement purchase. Get your copy of The Blueprint today by going to superhumanradio.com and clicking the Blueprint banner ad. Order today and get copies of both The Blueprint 2.0 and 3.0, plus ongoing support on The Blueprint Forum to ensure your success.
Get stronger. Feel younger. It's Superhuman Radio.
Welcome back to Superhuman Radio. Okay. So, correct me if I'm wrong. Assuming that, okay, there's lots of reasons to do cardio. You could do cardio for those of you who are big believers in the calories in, calories out theory, to burn more calories so that you have a net deficit, and this should lead to some weight loss. That's one theory, okay? So one theory is to do cardio exclusively as a caloric disposal process. But I tend to think that cardio is more valuable at building cardiovascular output, because we know that there are actually negative feedback loops in the brain that are designed to protect the heart by downregulating strength. And in fact, this is probably overridden in moments when you see a loved one caught underneath a car, and all of a sudden you have strength you never realized that you had. So with that being the case, let's focus on the latter for a second. Not as a caloric disposal process, but let's look at cardiovascular training from the standpoint that I want to make my heart stronger. I want to make my cardiovascular system more efficient. What, in your opinion, Wade, is it better to do loaded cardio like sled pushing and that sort of thing for brief periods of time? Or is there some balance and importance in alternating between that and then maybe a steady state, moderate type cardio?
Well, I think there is definitely with the latter there where you find a balance. I think as far as if you're training, if you're doing cardiovascular training, then I definitely think the interval training and you know, the sled dragging and those types of things are imperative. For me, for recovery, especially working like with football players, they would groan and moan, but for recovery, if they, several high school players that I've worked with, I'd get them up early in the morning on Saturday and we'd go walk on the treadmill. Very, very slow, very low impact, but the tendency was, especially the big lineman type, if they laid around all weekend, you know, Monday would come around and they're lethargic and they haven't recovered well. There's still a lot of soreness, and getting that blood flowing and doing the walking, just very low impact and very low intensity, just something steady, their recovery was much, much better. We didn't have the issues with soreness and more. We didn't have lethargic 300-pound linemen, you know, ready for practice Monday. So I ultimately think there's a balance. I think if you're going to train your cardiovascular system, then you have to train it and then find a balance with, like Rob was saying, if you follow up a heavy and intense leg workout, or like for me, a squat workout, the following day trying to do high intensity intervals, it's just not going to happen.
Rob, what do you think? What do you think the best modality of cardio training would be if your objective is to build a stronger heart? Because we know that I want to, before you answer, I want to preface this by saying the results is in, the science has shown that individuals who run marathons over and over again, who do lots of long distance training, they actually destroy their heart over time. And the changes in their heart are irreversible. And a lot of these people end up with heart problems later on in life. So clearly we are not genetically designed. We're designed to walk long distances and sprint, but we're not designed to run long distances indefinitely. So with that being said, where do you find the proper process to build the heart, make it stronger?
Well, I think Wade did a good job touching on it. What I'll try to do is I'll do the best to put my fine point on it. The key word here to answer your question is rotation. It takes a variety of three different types of that cardio that I described and rotating through each one on a periodic basis to derive all of the benefits that cardio entails. The measuring stick for each session is the energy system that your body draws upon, and there are three. The first, as you'll see in interval training, is the ATP phosphocreatine system, right? That's very similar to your weight training, if you think about it. When you're under load and you're doing a set, your heart rate is speeding up, and then what happens in between sets? You rest, and your heart rate comes down. Then that cycle repeats. So that's one part of the triangle. The second part of the energy triangle on the other end is your long-distance runner. There's your marathoner. And smack dab in the middle, over in the corner, the other corner, is, let's say, the lactic acid pathway from which you can fuel off of. The classic example in this case being a mixed martial artist or a wrestler. Why? Because they need a good balance of both strength as well as endurance. So rotating through all three of those different forms of cardio will give you the benefits of each.
Okay, so when you say rotating, give me an example. So in other words, let's say, what would a cardio regimen look like for a guy like me who's now doing much shorter, brief, more intense resistance training, which leaves me a lot more time to do cardio during the week now. What kind of cardio should I be doing that's going to enhance my strength gains, and obviously my cardiovascular system's strength as well?
Yeah, great question. The answer for me is most of the time, if I feel up to it physically and mentally, I will perform high-intensity interval training in a fasted state in the morning. On those days where I don't feel up to it, and I haven't slept well, or I'm just really drained from my prior weight workout, I will do a low-intensity, steady-state session for up to 45 minutes, but no more. And on those days where I feel like, you know what, I don't feel like doing either one of those, I want to do a form of cardio that's going to really benefit my explosiveness, for example, in the weight room. You take a medicine ball outside and grab it from a squatting position and throw it as high as you can. Now, you're going to look like a freak doing this, and your neighbors are going to get scared, but that's part of the fun.
Yeah.
you're also going to get your heart rate up, and you're going to develop a tremendous amount of explosive power without any of the eccentric component or lowering of weights of exercise that damages the muscle tissue. And it's worth pointing out, Alexeyev, one of the greatest lifters of all time that just recently left us, was fond of bringing a barbell outside with about 135 pounds on it and doing just that, yanking that thing and throwing it sky high.
Really?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Yes. Throwing 100 and catching it, or just letting it drop to the floor?
No. You definitely no.
I'm just to clarify.
I don't want anybody trying to catch.
Because I was going to say, I'm just imagining the asphalt in front of his home. It must look like downtown Beirut after those plates hit the ground a few dozen times.
You know, not only is it great exercise, but it's great fun. And yes, you're going to get some strange stares, but listen,
yeah,
we don't do this because we want to be normal.
I'll see how the people at the gym respond to that when I take their bar outside and start throwing it in the parking lot. Okay, so Wade, when do you do your cardio? Give me a snapshot of your week, and for a moment, just say resistance training instead of the actual session, you know, in between there.
For me, I will do the cardio training on my auxiliary days, which for me is Wednesday and Saturday, and then Sunday. Those are the 3 days that I'm not training, with heavy, you know, doing the powerlifting training. So I regulate it to, you know, those 3 days. Sometimes if I have time, a lot of it for me is schedule. And, so if there is some time, or if some of my training partners are going to be dragging or whatever the case may be, I might try to slip, you know, an extra 10 or 15 minutes through the week. But that I relegate it to to three times a week.
Do you do it early in the morning?
I always do it early in the morning, always.
Do you do it fasted?
Yes.
Yeah, see, everybody loves fasted cardio. Isn't that amazing? I mean, it's just an instinctive to do, go ahead and do it without, like, a belly full of food. You know what I mean? Okay, so now back to you for a second, Rob. When people are doing their cardio, okay,
yep.
30 minutes is the maximum. And I guess really what I need to back up is, could you please define in the way you're discussing it, what high-intensity cardio is? There's a lot of HIIT cardio rumors out there. It's 20 minutes all out. You know, it's intervals and so on. What are you talking about when you talk about high-intensity cardio?
For me, high-intensity interval training cardio is as follows. It's rotating periods of 1 minute at a very easy pace. I use the recumbent bike. 1 minute at a very easy pace with a 15-second all-out sprint on a much higher level. You know, I jack the bike, the resistance level up. Now, some guys like 1 minute and 30 seconds. Some guys like 1 minute and 45 seconds.
Well, that's something you can grow into, obviously.
It is. And just for reference sake, when I take somebody who's brand new to this, I say, okay, today we're going to start with 4 minutes of that kind of work. And every time that we come back here to repeat this session, we're going to add another minute or a minute and 15 seconds. And, you know, it doesn't sound like a lot, but if you take the typical man off the street and you put him through one of those workouts, he's sweating bullets mm-hmm. at the end of four or five minutes.
Right, right.
In my opinion, you don't need more than 20 minutes, 25 minutes at the most of that type of work. And then why again? Because I'm using it to enhance the results that guys get from weight training. It's like the football coaches from years ago. They'd make their linemen run for miles. Why?
Crazy.
Nobody. Linemen don't run for miles.
Right.
They're very explosive for a short period of time. So
yeah.
Why would you do something?
It's like taking a funny car out and trying to race Formula One cars with it. You know what I mean?
Exactly.
You just don't do it. Wade, so for you, high intensity is, do you do high intensity on the recumbent bike ever? Or high intensity push?
I don't do it in the manner that Rob does.
How do you do it?
Well, I'm not near as ambitious as he is. I'm just trying to stay in shape. But
another word that's been used.
But I'll do like a minute at an easy pace, and then I'll jack up my resistance and do a minute. It's not, you know, I'll vary the intensities throughout the cardio session where, you know, I'll have a minute easy, 1 minute really hard, maybe a minute in between, and then back down to easy.
What about doing when you're flipping tires or when you're doing loaded cardio? That's obviously high intensity. Will you do that in bursts and then recover, or do you just go on and on and on?
Like with the tire flipping, I'll do like sets of three or five and go as hard as I can, and then I'll rest until my heart rate feels normal.
Out of curiosity, what is your resting heart rate, Wade?
Oh, I don't have a clue.
Okay.
I
should have asked
idea.
You that question because. but what is your resting heart rate, Rob?
It varies. When I'm in really good shape, it's about 50 beats per minute. When I'm slacking, it's around 60.
Yeah. See, and I'll tell you something from my own. The past 2 years. Really have been a slow slide. I had so much invested in my body that it's almost like, you know, when you're a kid and you went to a really, really, really good middle school, and then you got to high school and found that the first couple of years they just didn't challenge you. Everything you learned in middle school was all you needed, so you kind of slacked.
Yeah.
Well, the past 2 years, I've really slacked because of life getting in the way, and I've really eaten into the equity that I developed over the previous 8 years. Well, I find myself now with a resting heart rate of 76, 77, when it used to be regularly well under 60. And I also find myself that when I blast off and do sprints now, which my body can still do them, my heart feels like it's going to jump out of my chest where it never, never did that. So here's what I want to talk about when we come back. When we come back, I want to talk about how do you ease into this new approach to cardio, because I can do steady state cardio for hours, but that's obviously not making my heart any stronger. You're listening to the roundtable discussion on strength and hypertrophy acquisition. We're talking about all things cardio today. We'll be right back with more. Never before has an anti-estrogen been so powerful. The triazole formula is built on a potent, all-natural aromatase inhibitor called Pizole, which has been shown in clinical trial to be as effective as a leading prescription aromatase inhibitor. Pizole works in concert with the rest of the triazole formula to control estrogen while simultaneously boosting testosterone significantly. In fact, one of triazole's testers had a 120% increase in total testosterone and a 257% increase in free testosterone. Triazole is available at bodybuilding.com, NutriPlanet.com, or where finer supplements are sold. For more information, check out GetDS.com.
When you take real performance-enhancing supplements, your body is placed under a lot of stress. Your organs need support. If you had to take a supplement for each of the potential side effects, estrogen conversion, blood pressure, liver protection, cholesterol control, water retention, androgen receptor upregulation, kidney function, and much more, you'd have to break the bank just to pay for it all. That's until Need to Build Muscle's N2 Guard. N2 Guard does all of this and more. It's the only real cycle support supplement that you'll ever need. Look, if your organs are important to you, buy N2 Guard today at needtobuildmuscle.com.
Never before has an anti-estrogen been so powerful. The triazole formula is built on a potent, all-natural aromatase inhibitor called Pizole, which has been shown in clinical trial to be as effective as a leading prescription aromatase inhibitor. Pizole works in concert with the rest of the triazole formula to control estrogen while simultaneously boosting testosterone significantly. In fact, one of triazole's testers had a 120% increase in total testosterone and a 257% increase in free testosterone. Triazole is available at bodybuilding.com, NutriPlanet.com, or where finer supplements are sold. For more information, check out GetDS.com.
I have never endorsed a training guide before The Blueprint by Rob Regish. The Blueprint combines the best techniques for building muscle and gaining strength with the best tips on supplementation and nutrition. Everyone who has used The Blueprint has surpassed their expectations in muscular gains in record time. You'll learn how to break through any plateau, how to make gains from every single workout, and all for the price of a single supplement purchase. Get your copy of The Blueprint today by going to SuperHumanRadio.com and clicking the Blueprint banner ad. Order today and get copies of both the Blueprint 2.0 and 3.0, plus ongoing support on the Blueprint forum to ensure your success.
AnabolicMinds.com is the premier website for credible information on building muscle, burning fat, supplementation, and more. With over 100,000 active registered members and over 2.5 million posts, it's one of the largest communities on the internet to get help and answers to your question. It's also the place that the official Superhuman Radio forum is hosted. Visit AnabolicMinds.com today and get into the action. AnabolicMinds.com. Learn, teach, lead.
If you're like me, you avoid the insulin spike from eating pasta, but not anymore. Miracle Noodle is the world's first no-calorie, no-carbohydrate noodle. You heard me right. Now you can enjoy pasta dishes and stay on your low-carb diet. They have fettuccine, linguine, rigatoni, and more. Even angel hair pasta is now a no-calorie, no-carb food. And Miracle Noodle tastes great. So go to superhumanradio.com today and click the Miracle Noodle banner ad to learn more about how you can start enjoying pasta again, even when you're dieting. Find your miracle noodle at superhumanradio.com today.
Your radio just got ripped. It's Superhuman Radio.
Welcome back to Superhuman Radio. Later in the show, John Moody will be talking about legislature that is affecting our food, access to food. Right now, we're talking with Coach Wade Johnson and Rob Regish. All things cardio today. Cardio is very, very important. I got to tell you something. I think that drug-using athletes need to do cardio even more so, because not doing cardio every single day will allow your heart to suffer some of the hypertrophic effects of these steroids. And I look at people like Ronnie Coleman. Every morning, Ronnie gets up and does an hour of cardio. That cardio, I believe, we know for a fact now that by installing a pacemaker on somebody who has cardio hypertrophy, actually reverses the hypertrophy by getting the heart rate synchronized and steady. And guess when another time that your heart synchronizes and is steady? When you're doing cardio. It's beating at a very, very, very regular pace for a very long period of time. With that being said, there is a responsibility for us to mention that if you've never done high-intensity cardio before, if you've never done sprints before, just because you can do it right now doesn't mean you should just dive in head first. Wade, please, let's start with you on this one here. You must take it easy on this sort of thing, shouldn't you?
Well, I think with any type of training, there's a break-in period. And I think I've said it on the show. I know you and I have had the conversation, and I've posted it on forums and things of that nature. When I will introduce a new movement, you know, if I want to focus on something new, you know, or a problem area, I always start out either, you know, very nice and light and very deliberate, and as opposed to just jumping in there and throwing on the weight, even though I can. And there's a couple of reasons. One is I'm just not prepared for that movement, and the big deal is to prevent injury. It doesn't matter. I can't work on a problem area of a lift or a weakness if I'm injured and it takes me out of the gym. And I think that's the biggest issue with cardio training. If you're going to step it up to high intensity, you need to walk through it. Believe this or not, back in my youth, I ran the 400.
Really?
Yeah, I was 6'2", 200 pounds, and could run about 56, 400, which
wow.
For a big white guy is not bad.
Right.
But one of the things that we did for the training is we would run hundreds. We would do like a mile worth of hundreds, and what we would do is we would walk the turn and sprint the 100. But when we started that, you know, of course I was like 16 years old and thought I was a badass, and I went out there and went balls out, and by the time the mile was done, I thought I was going to die. And I mean, I was a runner, you know, I was
right.
In very, very good condition. So it's one of those things where we would do different things. We would start slow. We wouldn't go, you know, 100% on the sprints. And it really, really helped me. But again, I broke into it. It's just like when I take on a new client. We start slow. You work your way into it. Because once you're injured, you know, then it's time off. And that's the thing we want to prevent. We want to prevent time. We don't want to have time away from the gym.
Okay, so Rob, for somebody who's thinking to themselves, you know, I'm going to try this high-intensity cardio. I'm going to do my 1 minute at a moderate pace, and I'm going to do a 15-second blast-off. What would you recommend for them to kind of test their mettle, or maybe as a preparatory step before jumping into that? Or should they just jump into it?
Should not just jump into it. 100% agree with Wade. You know, I can tell you, sadly, again, from experience, it's just as easy to injure yourself sprinting as it is with the weights. So what I'll typically recommend is, for somebody that's new to the concept of high-intensity cardio, I like the recumbent bike a lot because it doesn't take much coordination. It's very easy on the back, and it allows them to get familiar with the concept. And again, I start with that four-minute starting period, and then just add a minute to a minute and a half each session. It's important to point out, though, if you're introducing high-intensity cardio to somebody who's just brand new to the whole game, intensity is a relative factor. I'll give you a great example. I live on a circle, okay? And there is a gentleman here who wanted to start some form of cardiovascular training. Well, you don't start that in miles or hours. You know, my recommendation was, you know what? Let's walk tomorrow morning, and here's what we're going to do. We're going to walk at a very easy pace from one light pole to the next one. Once we get to that next one, we're going to speed the walk up a little bit. We're not going to jog, we're not going to run, and we're certainly not going to sprint. We're just going to speed up the rate that we walk at. To that person, Carl, that's a high-intensity threshold.
Right.
And that's, you know, you're not going to start somebody, you're doing somebody a really big disservice if you say, hey, we're going to go out and sprint, if they're not ready for it. And most people aren't.
But Wade, there's a lot of guys listening to this show that can squat 400 pounds, but they're not doing any type of sprints. And maybe they're not even pushing sleds. They're doing these what I would consider, you know, almost not even anaerobic, because if they're doing singles, doubles, and triples, they're not pushing themselves really into that exhaustion of oxygen availability state. And they're going to say to themselves, yeah, but I can squat 400 pounds. I can definitely start sprinting right now.
That's begging for an injury. Trust me, it is not a matter of if, it is only a matter of when, and it's going to be sooner than later. I tell my guys all the time, anytime we do something new, start slow. Do not go balls out. You know, you cannot get stronger if you can't train, and that's just the bottom line. And I hate to be repetitive, but it's one of those things that if you think you're a badass because of how much you squat and you strap on some shoes and you run out to the track and start sprinting, you know, it's just a matter of time. Blown hamstring, a knee, there's going to be something. You're not conditioned for that movement. It would be like me wanting to throw the javelin because I squat 1,000 pounds. Well, that doesn't mean crap. You know, if I'm not conditioned for that event, if I don't have the technique, I will most definitely hurt myself. There's no question about it.
Yeah. You'll also find that, Carl, that's true. When you try to rotate through those three different forms of cardio that I was describing.
Right.
Because I can recall this vividly. I built up my HIIT sessions, sprint sessions, to, you know, what I thought was a fantastic level. And I thought to myself, you know what, man, you're in great cardiovascular shape. I'm going to go out and try to run 10 miles. Well, let me tell you, that kind of conditioning for sprinting does not get you to the grocery store when it comes time to run a marathon.
Yeah. Yeah.
So you can even see it within the family, I'll call it, of cardiovascular conditioning. You know, you spend too much time in one area. Yes, your body will become adept at that particular exercise or energy system, but when you go to use another energy system that you haven't used in a while, you're in for
quite a surprise. And there's also muscle fibers that seem to be better suited for the distance runner versus the even sprinter or power lifter. And if you've been doing one for so long, like you said, that the demands are not as great until you turn on those other muscle fibers, and it's like, oh my God, I didn't know that I was this out of shape. You know, I like the idea of the recumbent bike, and I'll tell you why, especially as a starting point, because there's such a huge difference between even sprinting on a treadmill, where you're supporting your entire body weight and pushing it along, versus sitting down and purely pedaling. If I think that that's a great place to start. I think that if you want to start experimenting with high-intensity training, because it clearly is beneficial, in my humble opinion, it goes back to our DNA. We are predators. We are designed to walk long distances and sprint, run after something for a short time to catch it, but then we're done. And that is what is more simpatico with our being, and that is why it seems to upregulate good things like increased muscle and so on and so forth. But with that being said, I think if you're not already doing high intensity training and you're starting to think to yourself, you know, maybe this is what I should be doing instead of an hour on the treadmill 3 days a week. Maybe I should just be spending 15 minutes doing my cardio 3 days a week. Start out on a recumbent bike that's supporting the majority of your body weight. So you're just using your leg to pedal. And that will be like the entry point before you start doing something like sprinting. Because I made this look, I'll share a story with you. When I was in Arizona this last time, after doing a show with Coach Dan John about Litvinov, he used to do the Litfi squats. He would front squat 450 pounds for a certain number of reps, and then he would rack the bar and then sprint away for 100 yards. And I thought, you know, I'm going to start doing this. I can't squat, but I brought a bar and some plates, and I started deadlifting and then running in the field. And I'll tell you something. The first time I did it, I pulled a hamstring. Yeah. So, you know what? I like the idea of sitting on a recumbent bike and getting the body used to this this change in cardiovascular training. We have to take our last commercial break. Rob, real brief before we go into the break, how are things going with the new blueprint that you've been working on?
Things are going great. I'm putting the finishing touches now on the Blueprint Meteoric, and perhaps by coincidence, it does speak to this, what I call triphasic energy system training, which is just a fancy way of saying there are three different energy systems you draw upon when you either lift weights or, you know, hit the track, and there is much, much merit and benefit in rotating through all three.
Okay, and Wade, is it true that Ogawear shirts are now available on your website? Anybody who goes there can order them.
Yeah, they can order them, but I tell you what, I'm debating on what to do with that website, the best method is just to email me and supersquat800@yahoo.com. Tell me what you're interested in, and I can send you pictures of what we have. And I generally have stock, and the people that I work with, if I don't have it, I can get it fairly quickly.
You know what? And show your support of this particular show, the Roundtable Discussion Show. And please, always patronize these two guys who come here and give it for free right here on the show. I love my Ogaware T-shirt. I've been out without one for quite a long time. I had a couple of them, and they got lost in the numerous moves across country and back. I will be proudly wearing mine at the gym this weekend. Thank you very much. And I wore my face, the three faces of the blueprint shirt the other day, but I think people thought that that had something to do with a mental institution that I was residing at.
The Ogaware shirt's fantastic. I got mine today. And
I'll be
the first to say it. They make you look a lot bigger than you really are.
Yeah, I like that. So please.
These things are cut perfectly, folks. Get yours.
Hey, you know what? And they'll improve your squat by 0.5%. Yeah. So there you go. All right, listen, stay tuned. We'll be right back with more Superhuman Radio. When you take real performance-enhancing supplements, your body is placed under a lot of stress. Your organs need support. If you had to take a supplement for each of the potential side effects, estrogen conversion, blood pressure, liver protection, cholesterol control, water retention, androgen receptor upregulation, kidney function, and much more, you'd have to break the bank just to pay for it all. That's until Need to Build Muscle's N2 Guard. N2 Guard does all of this and more. It's the only real cycle support supplement that you'll ever need. Look, if your organs are important to you, buy N2 Guard today at NeedToBuildMuscle.com. CoQ10 is known to ramp up mitochondrial function. PQQ is documented to increase mitochondrial biogenesis and size. Now get two of the most advanced anti-aging supplements in a single capsule. Brought to you by Dr. Peter Rouse, CoQ10 and PQQ combined will give your body the mitochondrial energy and production that you need. And to make this offer even better, Superhuman Radio listeners get 20% off when you call 310-895-5385 and mention that you heard it on Superhuman Radio. From the most advanced supplement company on the planet, Primordial Performance, comes the new Andro series. Andro Lean is a thermogenic aid that will promote lipolysis and incinerate body fat. Andro Mass creates explosive gains and is highly anabolic. Andro Hard will turn your muscles into granite hard stone while increasing sex drive and maximizing strength. The Andro series represents the most advanced delivery systems available anywhere. These are non-methylated and completely liver-safe and non-toxic. Buy one or stack all of the new Andro Series products today at primordialperformance.com.
Protein is the building block of muscle. Protein-rich diets have been shown to not only be heart-healthy, but also burn body fat through the thermogenic effect of protein and the digestive process. But getting enough protein each day isn't easy. That's why I use True Protein from TrueProtein.com. TrueProtein.com has an incredible variety of flavors. My favorite is chocolate coconut. And you can even create your own custom blend. Mix whey, casein, and egg, or throw in a little beef isolate. And you can save 5% off the already low, low price when you use the coupon code SHRADIO. Visit TrueProtein.com today and let them know Carl sent you.
Sissies may want to stop listening now. Super DMZ is the most powerful legal compound available on the market today, bar none. Super DMZ will give you lean muscle and strength gains at comparable rates to the anabolic steroid Dianabol with none of the water retention or bloat. Super DMZ contains Superdrol dimethazine, not to be confused with other Superdrol knockoffs. Get Super DMZ while supplies last at IronMagLabs.com. Don't wait too long because Super DMZ is sure to be added to the government ban list. Go to IronMagLabs.com today.
I have never endorsed a training guide before, The Blueprint by Rob Regish. The Blueprint combines the best techniques for building muscle and gaining strength with the best tips on supplementation and nutrition. Everyone who has used The Blueprint has surpassed their expectations in muscular gains in record time. You'll learn how to break through any plateau, how to make gains from every single workout, and all for the price of a single supplement purchase. Get your copy of The Blueprint today by going to superhumanradio.com and clicking the Blueprint banner ad. Order today and get copies of both The Blueprint 2.0 and 3.0, plus ongoing support on The Blueprint Forum to ensure your success.
Jumping higher, left and more, it's Superhuman Radio.
We'll be right back. party people.
I love that bumper song. I don't know why. I keep it in the rotation. So. Okay. And you know what else? If you order an Ogreware t-shirt, let's do this. If we, Wade, if we get 50 orders for Ogreware t-shirts within the next 14 days, will you activate Super Squat 1040 email address?
Absolutely.
Okay. There you go. He's been holding on to this damn email address for 200 pounds now. You know? Okay. It's over. Ever since I've known him, he's had Super Squat 800. So let's help push this along and get him the email address he deserves, Super Squat 1040. Okay? So let's get 50 Ogreware t-shirts purchased in the next 2 weeks. That should be easy. Even if one person orders two or three, that'll count as two or three. They're great t-shirts. You'll love them. And don't forget, the website, Superhuman Radio website, is being updated right now with the contest area for the Blueprint Body Makeover. We've got $5,000 in prizes to give away to the person who's transformed their body the most using the Blueprint. So if you've bought the Blueprint, make sure you have before pictures. And if you're buying the Blueprint, buy it now and make sure you take a before picture, because it could win you $5,000 worth of prizes right here on Superhuman Radio. All right, we're going to wrap up the show by saying, before we have a question from a listener that needs to be answered by Coach Johnson, by saying that cardio is absolutely important. Is that a yes, Wade?
I would agree, absolutely.
Rob, is that a yes?
Hugely important, yes.
But the type of cardio you do will dictate whether or not it contributes to your gains in strength and health or not. Would you agree with that statement, Wade?
Oh, yeah.
Okay, Rob?
Very much so.
Okay, so there you go. Give high-intensity cardio a try, whether it's pushing a sled, whether it's flipping tires, or whether it's sitting on a recumbent bike, and following Rob's methodology here as well. Okay, Wade, tell me, what question do you have from a listener? Do you have a listener name by any chance? We like to give shout-outs.
I don't have it off the top of my head.
That's okay.
I get asked a lot of times about certain exercises, and someone asked me, is there really benefit to overhead lifting for the bench press and for strength training? And traditionally, I would say in the powerlifting community, that generally is a no. But I've got some experience here. A friend of mine that lives in the Nashville area, Matt Poe, check out his website, mattpoe.com, is one of the country's best push pressers. The guy's a little over 200 pounds, and I've seen him routinely do reps with 315 pounds. And in the strength world, 315 doesn't sound like too much, but stand there and do a few reps with 315 overhead.
Oh, you mean he's doing 315 overhead?
Yes.
Oh, wow.
Yes,
that's
standing
impressive.
Standing push press, and it's very impressive. And
Wait. I'll tell you how impressive it is. That last movie that was made with Sylvester Stallone and Arnold Schwarzenegger had a little spot in it. Do you know which movie I'm talking about? It was done about a year or two ago, and they were coming out of retirement to do some job or something like that, and Stallone was push pressing what looked like 10-pound bumper plates, but it was supposed to be 315 overhead. That goes to show you that it's supposed to be impressive.
It is. 315 pounds in the overhead is very impressive. And I've done several seminars with Matt. And again, you're not talking about a guy my size. If I told you I did three reps with 315 in the push press, you'd go, well, that seems feasible. Now think about a guy that at this particular time when we were doing this, that weighs anywhere from 100 to 150 pounds less than I do.
Right.
And then that changes your perspective. Matt injured his back a couple of years ago seriously and could not overhead press, and he did his rehab at my house. At my gym, I have a reverse hyper, and I was basically the voice of reason because, you know, I would, whatever Matt was doing, when he'd go, well, I feel good today, I'm going to do this, and I'd go, no, you're not, we're going to do this, so, you know, and that's why, you know, he was coming to me. But one of the things that I learned from Matt, because I would train with him, you know, for rhythm of the session and stuff like that, and what I noticed that as long as I didn't go crazy, that overhead training had a dramatic effect on my pressing power. And so I think it's one of those things where And again, this is more powerlifting specific, but we always learn that we want to train the bench and our assistants in the plane, in the groove that we're going to bench with. And I don't think that's all. I by and large, I would agree with that, but I don't think the variation hurts. It's like instead of always doing some sort of rowing motion for the lats, you know, pull downs are still an effective method of training the lats. I think Rob would agree. I still say, even though I can't pull my fat ass off the ground very well, that chins are by far. Well, one of the things that we've done with linemen, what we've done with heavyweight wrestlers, is if you can't do a full chin, we would finish our workouts where you would hang. You would pull as high as you could. Then you would control yourself down and do a 10-second hang. And over a period of weeks, you'd start seeing 300-pound linemen do 2 and 3 and 4, you know, clean chin-ups. And if you don't think that that doesn't transfer to the mat or the field well, I mean, that is an amazing amount of strength when you can take a 300-pound kid and he's doing chin-ups. So the answer is it an effective way to train, and will it assist the bench press? And the answer is yes, if used in moderation, and it does, and you don't go balls out and think I've got to, you know, go max effort. Do a three. I will follow up like a decline session, not every week, but some weeks with like 3x3, 3x5 of a moderate weight in the overhead.
Any opinions of the overhead press? I actually did a show dedicated to it with Brooks Kubik, author of the Dinosaur Training Files. What do you think about the overhead press, Rob?
For most people, I do find that there is a very nice carryover, especially if they haven't performed it in a while. What I do try to counsel is what I spoke to last time on the show, which is I very much like the I described it, I think, as the barbell jammer press, where you're pressing in line with the elbow. You have one end of the barbell in the corner. You have the other end in your hand loaded with the plates, and that way you're pressing straight up.
You're pressing in an arc, right, the arc that's natural for the shoulder.
And that's the way, what Wade just said was a very powerful statement with respect to chin-ups. That was the way the human body evolved to move, and that same thing is true about that movement that I just described, where instead of, you ask somebody to lift something up.
Yeah, it's an unnatural. The overhead press is very unnatural. I can see what you're saying. And the reality is that you're right. I never thought about that. But the fact that I am sitting here doing the show and that we are sitting here doing the show means that our ancestors were able to lift themselves up into trees when saber-toothed tigers were heading their way. So yeah. Obviously the chin-up and the pull-up are really lost on this civilization, aren't they?
It's a huge tragedy, you know. But I think the good news is, and we'll get into this at a later date, body weight training, and in particular calisthenics, and I mean old school calisthenics, I think are about to come back in a big way.
Yeah, I agree with you. I'm with you on this one a lot. Listen, guys, every time I do this show, I think to myself, why don't we do this show 5 days a week? but I can't do that. Obviously, this has been another great installment. Discussing cardiovascular training. Remember, cardiovascular training should not be just a caloric disposal approach. It should be something that builds your cardiovascular output so that if you're in a jam and you've got to push something, you've got to push your car to the gas station, you can actually do that. It really doesn't matter what your squat or your bench press is if you can't do the normal things in life, like carry something heavy from the house to the backyard. So focus on cardiovascular training that builds cardiovascular strength. And guess what? Your strength training will also improve. Wade, thank you for being on the show today.
Always good to be with you guys. Enjoyed it.
Rob Regish, thank you for being on the show today. And we'll do another one of these.
You bet. My pleasure.
There you go. And in 2 weeks. Take care, guys.
Great. Thank you.
All right, so stay tuned. When we come back, we're going to have John Moody on. We're going to talk about some legislature that's being imposed that could actually finally benefit some of us who are involved in herd share and cow share programs to a positive way. We'll be right back with more Superhuman Radio. We'll be right back.
want to be superhuman, you can't eat junk. Finally, there's a protein bar that isn't just candy in disguise. Quest protein bars have 20 grams of protein, 4 to 5 grams of non-fiber carbs, and the only bars on the market with no sugar or sugar alcohols. I've never promoted a protein bar before, but these are delicious and unlike any other protein bars you've ever tried before. They're so good that Quest Nutrition is giving away 2 free bars to all my listeners, even free shipping. Go to superhumanradio.com right now and click the Quest Protein Bar banner ad to try them today.
From the most advanced supplement company on the planet, Primordial Performance, comes the new Andro series. Andro Lean is a thermogenic aid that will promote lipolysis and incinerate body fat. Andro Mass creates explosive gains and is highly anabolic. Andro Hard will turn your muscles into granite hard stone while increasing sex drive and maximizing strength. The Andro series represents the most advanced delivery systems available anywhere. These are non-methylated and completely liver safe and non-toxic. Buy one or stack all of the new Andro series products today at PrimordialPerformance.com.
No two amino acids have been studied more than creatine and beta-alanine, and no two amino acids have been shown to independently improve athletic performance better than creatine and beta-alanine. When you join these two ergogenic powerhouses together, you get unparalleled results. And when you bypass the stomach and deliver them right to the bloodstream, you get the best single legal performance-enhancing product bar none. Save 50% off your initial order by using the coupon code CB50. That's CB50. Go to ageforce.com today.
Are your goals longevity, endurance, vitality, or wellness? Well, you'll find everything you're looking for at USCellWellness.com. USCell Wellness was founded on the belief that total well-being begins at the most basic cellular level. Their natural supplements are designed to work with the body to achieve health and vitality. Their formulas are backed by a team of nutritional researchers, healthcare professionals, and nutritional supplement biochemists. Whether you're concerned for your own wellness or a clinician caring for others, it all starts at USCellWellness.com. Save 20% off your first purchase when you use the coupon code SUPER.
Protein is the building block of muscle. Protein-rich diets have been shown to not only be heart healthy, but also burn body fat through the thermogenic effect of protein and the digestive process. But getting enough protein each day isn't easy. That's why I use True Protein from TrueProtein.com. TrueProtein.com has an incredible variety of flavors. My favorite is chocolate coconut. And you can even create your own custom blend. Mix whey, casein, an egg, or throw in a little beef isolate, and you can save 5% off the already low price when you use the coupon code SHRADIO. Visit TrueProtein.com today and let them know Carl sent you.
Testosterone is the king of anabolic hormones, and Test Charge is unlike any testosterone amplifier you have ever tried, because only Test Charge has taxadrol, a substance that grows in only one place in the world and is only found in Test Charge. Test Charge will jack your testosterone levels like illegal agents, but rest assured, there are no banned substances in Test Charge. Test Charge is the secret weapon used by IFBB legend Flex Wheeler. And now you can join the pro ranks. Go to AAEFX.com to learn more about where you can find Test Charge today.
This is the Superhuman Channel. Evolution just got kicked up a notch.
Welcome back to Superhuman Radio. There are lots of tenets to health. We talk about gaining strength. We talk about supplementation. We talk about getting good sleep. But something that is unavoidable, that has a greater impact on health than anything else, is the food that we put in our mouth. And it's becoming increasingly harder and harder for us to have the normal rights that we should be available to us to ensure that we can get the foods that we want to eat, that we know are good, and not the foods that the government wants us to eat. My next guest has been on the show before. It's John Moody. How you doing, John?
Good. How are you doing today?
Good, good. Now, John, you are the local representative here in Kentucky for the Weston A. Price Foundation, correct?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm a local chapter leader for Weston A. Price.
And you also head up a CSA, correct?
Well, I head up a food buying club.
A food buying club, so, right. Mm-hmm. We should say a real food buying club. You guys aren't buying Hot Pockets.
Not last time I checked.
There you go. There you go. All right. So there is a Senate bill in the Senate today being voted on here in Kentucky, and it actually has the potential to help those of us who are, for instance, in a cow share program like I am to buy raw unpasteurized milk. Talk about the bill, first of all.
Yeah. Well, it's Senate Bill 47. So it was introduced by Senator John Schickel, who's up kind of in the Cincinnati area of Kentucky. And originally the bill would have permitted on-farm raw milk sales. And obviously, I think a lot of your listeners understand if the only place you can access raw milk is by driving to a farm, just like a lot of other good foods, if the only way you can get them is by going to the farm, that's going to severely limit who can access truly nutritious food.
Right.
And so a group of us came around Senator Schickel, who has just been a gem to work with and just a great senator to get to know. We amended the bill both to expand what it covers, because, you know, you probably have lots of listeners who don't drink raw milk but want access to pastured beef or want access to soy-free poultry or a number of other things. And so we amended the bill to prohibit state government interference in any private contract and co-ownership of livestock.
See, and first of all, this is counterintuitive to me. It shouldn't – the government – shouldn't be involved in any way, shape, or form if I want to buy baby chicks and have a farmer raise them because I live in a suburban area and can't do them myself, any more than if I want to kennel my dog when I go to Disney World one weekend.
Yeah, you and I feel that way, but especially the big agricultural interests who lean on our senators and representatives, they don't feel that way.
Because and is that because they feel like if with the ease of doing that, more and more people stop going to the grocery stores and buying the bad, unhealthy poison food and start choosing their own food?
Yeah. We had a meeting a few days ago with some of the biggest big ag interests in the state of Kentucky. And in a nutshell, you know, especially when they talked about this bill, they basically said they want to kill this bill before people's ability to choose food gets any more momentum in the Commonwealth.
You know, and this is, and you know, for those of you who are thinking, oh, I'm going to tune out now because this is about Kentucky, it's not just about Kentucky, and we'll get into that in a minute.
Oh, yeah, not at all.
No, but you know what? This goes hand in hand with Tom Vilsack speaking to the National Restaurant Association a month or so ago and telling them that we must get people to enjoy and choose the foods that the government wants them to eat. The government has no place in my pantry. The government should not be dictating what I can eat. This is really an atrocity. And keep in mind, the government has no interest in our health. This is exclusively driven by greed of those large companies who would lock us into buying their food only, and the corruption at Capitol Hill and in local governments of reaching out and touching those politicians and getting them to sell us. And I use that specifically. They are selling us to the highest bidder. If the politicians out there can make decisions that impact my ability to go to a farm and buy something from the farm and put it in my mouth, I should have a free choice. I can put dirt in my mouth. If I can put a filthy, cancer-causing cigarette in my mouth, then I should be able to put a cow's teat in my mouth if I want to. And the fact that these politicians are ruling on this is tantamount to them selling us to the highest bidder. Okay, I'm sorry about that, John, but I get very emotional about this. So go ahead. I'm sorry.
I just understand it. It is. And that's why it's so important for your listeners, both the ones who are in Kentucky or who are all over the nation, to become more active in leaning back on the politicians. You know, one thing, because a number of people in Kentucky have asked me, how did we ever get to this point in Kentucky where a few large agricultural company lobbyists can decide what everybody in the state can and cannot eat? And it's because, you know, for 30 or 40 years, no average citizens have been interacting with their elected officials. We go to the vote box, we check off a circle, and we think that's the end of our responsibility to protect our farmers and protect our families and protect our freedoms. And that's not going to work anymore. We have to become a lot more active and involved in the process and what is happening if we hope to make a difference.
Okay, so you said that you asked for the bill to be amended with these other items. How were you received?
Oh, it was great. I mean, we had a number of different senators and other people get together.
Did Wendell Berry show up by any chance?
Wendell Berry is not. He's actually on my list of people still to call.
Yeah. Okay. All right. So now, has the bill been amended with that language?
Yeah. So the bill was amended, and then the bill went before the Senate Agricultural Committee, and it was voted out of committee with 9 yeses and 2 against.
What do you mean voted out of committee? Does that mean it was voted in upstream to the real process? I'm not familiar with the terminology of the process.
Great. Well, in Kentucky, like in a lot of other states, before a bill goes for a vote by the full Senate or the full House, it is voted on by a subcommittee. And so our bill went before the Agricultural Committee, and it was voted on by that committee. And if your bill gets voted down in committee, it dies, doesn't go anywhere. And if the bill gets voted up, passed in committee, it then gets moved on to the full Senate.
Gotcha. Okay. We have to take a commercial break. When we come back, we're going to pick it up. We're talking with John Moody. John, do you have a website?
I do. So I recently finished a book about starting a food buying club, and so I have a website that goes along with it called foodclubsandcoops.com.
Foodclubsandcoops.com. Wonderful. I didn't realize that. Okay, so check out foodclubsandcoops.com, and we're going to come right back to hear more about the saga of State Bill. I think it's hold on a second. I should have had this in front of me. It looks like, is it SB 47? John?
Yep, SB 47.
There you go. SB 47. We'll be right back with more Superhuman Radio. No other peptide supplier has a more complete offering than Southern Research Companies. And no other peptide supplier can boast that all their research peptides are manufactured inside the United States in Tier 1 labs. Whether you're looking for IGF-1 long R3, GHRP6, GHRP2, melanotan-2, mechanical growth factor, or PT-141, or hard-to-find peptides like triptorelin or follistatin, you'll find them at Southern Research Companies. Free shipping on orders over $150. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Southern Research banner ad today and do business with the most trusted name in research peptides, Southern Research Company. You already know how great the Testo 100 Transdermal Testosterone Boosting Patch is. Well, now it's even better. The new and improved Testo 100 patch now contains D-aspartic acid, stinging nettle root, and androstenotrione to increase free testosterone while reducing sex hormone binding globulin and aromatase enzyme. It's still made in FDA-certified labs and contains all the great ingredients that made it work originally. But now it's even better. Bypassing the stomach to deliver its ingredients throughout the day for greater increases in energy, libido, and muscle-building, fat-burning effects. Get 50% off when you use the coupon code SHR4. Go to AGEFORCE.com and use the coupon code SHR4 and get your new Testo 100 patch today.
That's the sound of 37 dumbbells. That's a lot of weight and a lot of wasted space when you can get the same thing done with just one set of power blocks. The new, quieter, urethane series power blocks with FlexPin technology are the heaviest and easiest to use quick change dumbbells on the market. Starting at just $149 a pair, power blocks can grow as your strength grows, all the way up to 130 pounds per dumbbell. Imagine a whole rack of dumbbells in the space of just one pair with power blocks. Go to powerblock.com today or call 800-651-1937. Power block, the world's best dumbbell.
There are a few products that I believe in the way I believe in CanSee eye drops. I've been using CanSee for 6 months now, and the changes in my vision are nothing short of amazing. My near vision has improved, and I can read small print from 8 inches. My overall vision is clearer, and the glare from oncoming headlights doesn't bother me any longer. Just 1 to 2 drops a day, and the results are visible. You can find CanSee eye drops at wisechoicemedicine.net or call 800-861-4936. That's 800-861-4936. 1936. WiseChoiceMedicine.net. CanSee Eye Drops. The name says it all.
Melatonin is the best sleep aid in the world, but it has one flaw, the delivery method. Melatonin tablets are not efficient and can wear off too soon, leaving you wide awake in the middle of the night. Time-release tablets make you feel groggy in the morning. Now there's the Age4 Sustained Delivery Melatonin Patch. This transdermal patch delivers a precise amount of melatonin from the moment you apply it and continues to do so for an entire 6 hours. This ensures a full night's sleep while waking refreshed and ready to go. Visit ageforce.com and use the coupon code SHRMEL and save 50% off your first order. Go to ageforce.com and use SHRMEL today and sleep better tomorrow.
Are your goals longevity, endurance, vitality, or wellness? Well, you'll find everything you're looking for at USCellWellness.com. USCell Wellness was founded on the belief that total well-being begins at the most basic cellular level. Their natural supplements are designed to work with the body to achieve health and vitality. Their formulas are backed by a team of nutritional researchers, healthcare professionals, and nutritional supplement biochemists. Whether you're concerned for your own wellness or a clinician caring for others, it all starts at USCellWellness.com. Save 20% off your first purchase when you use the coupon code SUPER.
Build muscle, burn fat. It's Superhuman Radio.
Welcome back to Superhuman Radio. We're talking to John Moody. Right now we're talking about Senate Bill 47 that is being voted on today in the state of Kentucky. However, this is an important message because things like this are going on in every community. You need to be aware of these things. Okay, so let's get back to Senate Bill 47. So where the bill was voted up. Now today it's being voted on by the full Senate, right?
Well, it was originally supposed to be actually just a few minutes before you calling me. I got a message that the bill is going to be tabled for the moment to address a language problem that, you know, we both know that large agricultural interests love to run roughshod over regulation and other things and try and get little farms regulated. And there's a small problem with the bill's language that would allow CAFOs, confinement animal factory operations, where they put thousands of pigs in a little house and thousands of chickens in a little house, to try and get around environmental regulation.
Well, and let's not forget that, and that I actually spoke at the what was it, the electronic devices, I want to say, the NAID, what were they called, NSAIDs, you know what I'm talking about? I actually spoke here in Kentucky, in Louisville, when the FDA and the USDA sent people here to get the feedback of what everybody wanted. And you know, the interesting thing about all that is that that was one of those situations, once again, where big agriculture had an opportunity to style the language. And interestingly enough, they styled it so that the small farmer had to tag every animal, but they just needed to tag one animal in a pen of up to 1,000 animals. So where the small family farm had to buy, if they had 100 cows, 100 tags, or if they had a 500 chickens, 500 tags, but the CAFO and the large farm just needed to buy one tag per 500 chickens.
Mm-hmm.
So this is typical of them.
Yeah, well, and so, you know, this was just something in the language that when it came to our attention, when a few different lawyers from across the Commonwealth were looking at it, that a CAFO could use this language to try and get out of environmental laws and, you know, would then go to court and could, you know, buy very high-priced lawyers to tie up the process, we decided it was just best to fix the language in the bill before moving forward because we don't want CAFOs to have any more protection than they already have. Big agriculture already has enough government protection, already has enough legal finagling on their side. So for the moment, the bill is tabled, and it'll probably be coming back out hopefully in a few weeks, which gives us more time to reach people, to let them know to contact their senators, to contact their representatives, to contact their farmers, to contact their neighbors, to get more people involved in ensuring that the bill passes when it comes back out.
Okay, so do we have now, when they table something, is it also tabled for a specific date, or is the date to be announced?
It's just to be announced.
Okay, so we have to sit tight. So this is good. This actually gives those of us in Kentucky a chance to reach out.
Exactly.
I'm going to repost the email that you sent to me today in my blog so that anybody in Kentucky who wants to take action, there's a link to the page where you can actually reach out, and there's a phone number that you can call as well, and I'll take care of that after the show. Okay, so this is all good news, and it sounds like if this passes, then I will be able to how will this enhance my relationship, say, with my current farmer, Jay King?
Well, you know, the first thing is all of the farmers in Kentucky who are doing things like this already but live in fear.
Right.
I believe Jay King, you know, at some point even had moved his dairy herd onto like a secret farm because
well,
he felt
– I thought he moved over to Indiana, in fact, because Indiana is so much more easy to deal with than Kentucky.
Yeah. And so like overnight, all of these farmers who live in fear – of providing nutritious food to people will have the shield of the law on their side.
So does that mean that there will be a loosening of, like, in other words, could then I just go not have to belong to a cow share program and buy milk, or does that not change the milk thing? It just changes.
You still retail sales of any kind will still not be permitted in Kentucky, but more and more farmers will feel comfortable doing cow shares and herd shares.
Gotcha.
And the ones that are operating will become a whole lot more visible and known throughout the Commonwealth, because those farmers are no longer going to have to be looking over their shoulder waiting for the state health department to harass them, to raid them, to, you know, sue them.
Try to put them out of business. I know. It's terrible. Gary Oaks. Poor Gary Oaks. I mean, they descended on him like a SWAT team. Came down on him like he had he was one of the Bolivian drug cartel runners. So anyway, okay, so that's all good news. I'm glad to hear that. What else is going on? Because I recently read an article that was buried in the Courier Journal, which is the local newspaper here, that was picked up and passed around by the Associated Press, saying something to the effect that more people are getting sick in New York from raw milk, but I couldn't find a single story other than that mention. They didn't give any specifics who was getting sick, but it was one of these negative propaganda pieces to keep banging the drum against raw milk. I can't find anybody who gets sick from raw milk at all, in my experience. What else is going on in the country right now, John?
Well, I mean, you know, there was recently in Pennsylvania, there was a raw milk dairy that did have an outbreak of Clamptobacteria. And, you know, one of the first things to realize is regardless of what food you eat, on occasion, you're going to get sick.
Yeah,
and you know, like
more people get sick from pasteurized milk bought in grocery stores than any other form of milk. We know that for a fact.
Yeah, and you know, just on Food Safety News this morning, there's an article about people are still dying from the cantaloupe outbreak from last
the listeria, late summer and fall. Right? Because there's people who still have, because cantaloupes last a long time.
Mm-hmm. So, and so, you know, like, what matters is not the newspaper headlines. What matters is the facts. And raw milk, in terms of overall safety, while having some risks, is certainly a whole lot safer than, you know, driving your car to the farm to pick up the raw milk. Is actually statistically likely more likely to injure you than drinking the
drive.
Raw milk.
Right. Exactly. That's funny. That's very funny.
You know, in a number of other states and at the federal level, things are still being kind of slugged out. There's a great turn of events up in Wisconsin for those who have heard of or familiar with Vernon Hirschberger. He has a private buying club that was providing food to, you know, people in a number of different states, I believe. And the Department of Agriculture in that state is really kind of cramped down on Vernon to try and intimidate him. And he had a hearing recently, just a few weeks ago. And his response to the judge is great. I'll read it to you.
Please.
He says, "I would much rather spend the rest of my life behind bars or even die than to be found guilty of such a gross sin of not providing this healthy, nutritious food to these families."
Yeah, that's great, and this is a raw milk producer.
Well, I mean, he produces more, like he does raw milk, but he does a number of different foods. You know, he does soy-free poultry and raw milk and just a number of foods that people want so that they and their family can
be
healthy.
I mean, think about this for a second. Ask yourself why a government would not want us to have access to food made on a local farm. If they say it's because it's dirty, they don't do there's no standards being checked and all this other stuff, then ask yourself the next logical question. Well, what happened to American Peanut Company of America or the cantaloupes that are killing people still to today? These were distributed by organizations that were controlled and provided oversight by this government. How does that happen? And then the government comes back and says, well, you know, we can't provide the oversight we want because we don't have the money to do so. And so then my response to you is, okay, so you can't do your job and you're telling me that I can't go out and buy this stuff on my own. I think you need to get out of my way. You can't have it both ways. And the other thing that you have to think about is this. This government, through the FDA and the USDA, provide us with things that are known to kill us. Drugs that are approved with side effects that destroy our lives and destroy our bodies. Tobacco, I keep pointing at tobacco because we know 400,000 people a year die from tobacco use. The government gets their blood money, so they don't really care about it. This government has no business telling us what we can put in our mouths. It's not because it's the government and I'm anti-government. No, it's just not right. It doesn't make sense how on one hand they can condone and promote poison, but then on the other hand not let you choose your poison.
Mm-hmm. Well, and you know, the thing I always say to people is, even if you think the government should be doing these things, shouldn't we make them show us they can do a good job before giving them more authority? You know, and I'm like, I don't think they should have more authority, and it's clear they're not doing a good job. But if you're out there thinking, but don't we need the government, you know, shouldn't they be looking at these things? Like, show me one example where they're doing the job they were given and doing it well. And you just can't.
So what's going on with Hirschberg? I've actually heard more about him over there. I know Agnes von der Planet sent out a really nice email to try to help the guy. What's going on with him now, the farmer?
Well, you know, after his last hearing where he made those just incredibly inspiring remarks to the judge, he has a hearing at the end of this month. And for any of your listeners who are up in the Wisconsin region, we are going to be holding a multi-day event surrounding his next hearing. So his next hearing is on March 2nd, and we're going to be holding on March 1st kind of a food rights workshop and seminar where myself and a number of other people are going to be speaking. And then on March 2nd at the courthouse where Vernon's hearing is going to be, we're going to be holding a rally in support of food freedom and farmer protection from government interference. And we just invite people from all over the country to turn out to support farmers like Vernon who are willing to go to jail so that you can eat healthy food.
Yeah, that's wonderful. Really is. We have to take another commercial break. When we come back, you have another story that you want to talk about. And then at the end of the show, I want you to talk about the book, okay?
Great.
All right, so sit tight. We're talking with John Moody. What's the website again for the book, John?
Foodclubsandcoops.com.
Foodclubsandcoops.com. Stay tuned. We'll be right back. Orbit Nutrition carries over 1,000 of the hottest nutritional supplements, performance enhancers, and nutraceuticals on the planet. And now, Superhuman Radio listeners get an additional 5% off their everyday low prices by using the coupon code SHR5. That's SHR and the number 5. Choose from products like Quest Protein Bars, iForce Nutrition, Iron Mag Labs, and more. Check out Orbit's daily deals for special insane blowout prices. Log on to the Orbit Nutrition Forum and get feedback about the products you're shopping
shopping for and get an additional 5% off using the coupon code SHR5. Orbit Nutrition. Fast, reliable, competitive, international. Why shop anywhere else?
No two amino acids have been studied more than creatine and beta-alanine. And no two amino acids have been shown to independently improve athletic performance better than creatine and beta-alanine. When you join these two ergogenic powerhouses together, you get unparalleled results. And when you bypass the stomach and deliver them right to the bloodstream, you get the best single legal performance-enhancing product bar none. Save 50% off your initial order by using the coupon code CB50. That's CB50. Go to ageforce.com today.
Thousands of Superhuman Radio listeners already know how well GLC 2000 works at repairing joints and cartilage, and it's the best price on the market, milligram for milligram. Now GLC Direct is offering a special that my listeners can take advantage of. Buy one, get one free of any GLC 2000 product. That's right. Buy one of your favorite GLC 2000 products and get one free. Capsules or raw powder. Just mention Superhuman Radio and buy one, get one free today. Call 866-452-3473 or click the GLC banner ad on superhumanradio.com. Offer limited to one per household.
Protein is the building block of muscle. Protein-rich diets have been shown to not only be heart healthy, but also burn body fat through the thermogenic effect of protein in the digestive process. But getting enough protein each day isn't easy. That's why I use True Protein from TrueProtein.com. TrueProtein.com has an incredible variety of flavors. My favorite is chocolate coconut. And you can even create your own custom blend. Mix whey, casein, and egg, or throw in a little beef isolate. And you can save 5% off the already low price when you use the coupon code SHRADIO. Visit TrueProtein.com today and let them know Carl sent you.
I have never endorsed a training guide before The Blueprint by Rob Regan. The Blueprint combines the best techniques for building muscle and gaining strength with the best tips on supplementation and nutrition. Everyone who has used The Blueprint has surpassed their expectations in muscular gains in record time. You'll learn how to break through any plateau, how to make gains from every single workout, and all for the price of a single supplement purchase. Get your copy of The Blueprint today by going to superhumanradio.com and clicking the Blueprint banner ad. Order today and get copies of both The Blueprint 2.0 and 3.0, plus ongoing support on The Blueprint Forum to ensure your success.
If you're like me, you avoid the insulin spike from eating pasta, but not anymore. Miracle Noodle is the world's first no-calorie, no-carbohydrate noodle. You heard me right. Now you can enjoy pasta dishes and stay on your low-carb diet. They have fettuccine, linguine, rigatoni, and more. Even angel hair pasta is now a no-calorie, no-carb food, and Miracle Noodle tastes great. So go to superhumanradio.com today and click the Miracle Noodle banner ad to learn more about how you can start enjoying pasta again, even when you're dieting. Find your miracle noodle at superhumanradio.com today.
Get stronger. Feel younger. It's Superhuman Radio.
Welcome back to Superhuman Radio. We're talking this hour with John Moody. John is the local chapter head for the Weston A. Price Foundation. We actually did a show a couple years ago about finding a food club in your area with John and, or a family farm. And now with the proliferation of farmers markets, it's getting easier and easier. Go to a farmers market, find somebody who sells things you like, ask them for a card and how you can reach them and start buying direct from them as well. But it becomes increasingly harder and harder for those who live in more city-fied areas, and we're going to talk about John's book towards the end of the show, which should help those types of people. All right, so what else is going on besides the farmer Hirschberg's plight in the United States?
Yeah, there's another farmer, Dan Alger, who's a Pennsylvania Amish dairy farmer. In the state of Pennsylvania, they actually have legal retail raw milk sales.
Bravo, bravo.
And so he, though, was supplying raw milk across state lines to Maryland to a very large set of buying clubs known as Grass Fed on the Hill and I believe a few others over in the D.C. Maryland area. And the federal government has wisely been using our tax dollars conducting an undercover observation and sting operation on this Pennsylvania Amish farmer.
Because he's going across state lines.
Yeah, because it's a, you know, from the FDA holds that to that even if people have already paid for the milk, even if people own the cows.
Right. See, that's what happened with Gary Oaks. He was delivering milk to members. They were members of the cow share program. He wasn't selling milk.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And so this judge, though, so, you know, the government had been secretly trailing him and infiltrating his milk clubs, as if an Amish farmer is five times more threatening than an Al-Qaeda terrorist. And so, you know, using all of this tax money, using all of these man resources to find out, well, who's this farmer bringing milk across state lines into Maryland? As soon as the milk crosses the line from Pennsylvania into Maryland, the milk is now dangerous and deadly.
It's contraband. It's interstate contraband.
Yeah. And so they finally brought charges against him, and he appeared in court and answered those charges. And federal judge Lawrence Stengel issued a permanent injunction against Dan for crossing state lines with milk to provide to the club members in Pennsylvania.
Wait. So a permanent injunction that he can't even do it to people in Pennsylvania, you're saying? Or?
No, he can do it in Pennsylvania. He is not allowed to cross state lines to continue to supply the members of Grass Fed on the Hill.
Right.
Now, the judge even went further, and he basically said that I'll read his statement. The contract between Mr. Alger and persons entering into a cow share arrangement is merely a subterfuge.
Huh.
To create a transaction disguised as a sale of raw milk to consumers. The practical result of this arrangement is that consumers pay money to Mr. Alger and receive raw milk, which is transported across state lines and left at a drop point. As such, despite any artful language, the agreement involves the transfer of raw milk for consideration, which constitutes a sale and is legally regulated by the FDA.
I got to tell you something, okay? Judges interpret the law, okay? Mm-hmm. So I don't believe that humans should be judging other humans in general, but in this particular instance, I can't help but feel that the way cow share programs are established today, they are in fact possibly hidden sales contracts. And the reason I say this is this. If you buy a share in a cow, the share is based on the number of gallons of milk that you want to get every week.
Mm-hmm.
That's where I think the cow share people get into trouble, in my opinion. They've got to come up, and I don't know what the metrics are, they've got to come up with a different metric system that allows them to buy a share in a cow, and somehow the amount of milk that they get either varies or is indiscriminate to the cost that they pay.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know how to do it, but I do, you know, because let's face it, somebody goes to a cow share program and they don't say, hey, I want to own a share in a cow. They say, I want to own a share in a cow because I want to be able to drink its milk.
Mm-hmm.
And so then the farmer goes, okay, how many gallons of milk a week do you need? That's the mistake right there. You know what I mean? Because if I want to buy a piece of a racehorse,
mm-hmm.
right? And they say, okay, the winnings of this racehorse are what you are going to get in return, and your share is representative of that, but you have to pay the same amount to maintain that horse. This is a fixed amount. The winnings are going to vary from person mm-hmm. to person. So in theory, it should almost be this way, in my humble opinion. It would require farmers. And I'm kind of thinking on the fly here, John, so please, you know, humor me. I think that the way farmers need to do this is they really need to structure it where they go, okay, we're going to have 15 people per cow, and we are going to monitor the amount of milk output, and whatever it is, we're going to divide it by 15, and that's what they get. Now you have something that if a judge makes a statement like Judge Stengel did, you can say, no, you're incorrect, Your Honor, because the amount of consideration is indiscriminate of the amount of it. There were some weeks where people paid their fee and they only got half a gallon of milk because it was wintertime and the cows didn't produce anything.
Mm-hmm.
I really think that is going to be the linchpin in finally getting this type of response from these types of judges? Because, but I mean, first of all, we shouldn't even be going to court for this. We should be able to buy milk from the cow share program. I mean, look, let's face it. You can buy goat milk, but you know why? But that's because they don't sell goat milk in grocery stores. If they started selling goat milk in grocery stores and it became a commodity item, you'd see how fast they'd be doing this to goat farmers. But they don't, because the dairy industry goes, oh, who cares about goat milk? Nobody really wants to drink that anyway.
It's true. I mean, yeah, it doesn't make any sense. You know, other than the fact that there's corporate profits at stake.
But do you agree with my deconstruction of the process and where I think they really do have a foot to stand on and saying, no, you're just selling milk?
Well, you know, that's an interesting issue. For instance, up in Ohio a few years ago, a judge actually ruled in favor of herd shares without actually commenting on the specifics of how they're structured. And in Tennessee, herd shares are actually protected by statute. So the Tennessee legislator actually did pass a law exempting herd shares and people who participate in them from government interference, whereas other judges have not ruled favorably on the arrangements, which is why just in Kentucky we're pushing for a law to settle it. So that the contract I make with a farmer isn't on the whim of a judge to decide.
Yeah, I agree. But in the meantime, I really think that I'm going to call, what's his name, Pete Kennedy?
Uh-huh.
I'm going to call Pete Kennedy sometime next week and talk to him about my theory on how the cow share contracts need to be restructured so that they're not seen as a sales contract for milk, but they are truly seen as someone buying a share of that cow and getting it equal. Because like I said before, if you and I buy a racehorse together, then we split the money that horse makes, no matter what it is. It could be losses one year, we split that, and it could be $1,000, we split that. So It's indiscriminate. It's not like I'm saying, oh, I'm going to buy a share of this horse and I'm going to absolutely get X amount of dollars back week in and week out. No, you can't do that then. That's it. Mm-hmm. But anyway, okay. So in summary, so the judge ruled the farmer can't go to Maryland anymore, but the farmer can still do business in Pennsylvania, no problem.
Yeah, because he has a permit in Pennsylvania to produce raw milk. And so, so it's going to be interesting to see how the members of his Maryland clubs respond to the judge's decision.
But if they drive across the line, pick up the milk and drive it back themselves, then they're the ones that are breaking the law, right?
Based on what the judge has said, you know, it appears the judge would feel that way. The FDA, after our event on the footsteps of the FDA building in Maryland, released a press statement. Are you all familiar with the Raw Milk Freedom Rides?
No, not at all.
So Liz Ritzig and a few other people a number of months ago decided enough was enough with this FDA shenanigans, and they organized what are known as the Raw Milk Freedom Rides, where people in a state drive across state lines to purchase, pick up whatever raw milk in another state, and then drive back across state lines to distribute it.
Right.
In violation, so basically taking the farmers out of the crosshairs of the FDA and trying to make the FDA go after the families who are supporting these farmers. And we had an event back in the fall in Maryland where milk was brought from Pennsylvania to actually right in front of the FDA headquarters. We gave them advance notice. A few hundred people showed up. It was just a great day. Of meeting people from across the country who care about their food and their farmers. And the FDA that afternoon issued a press release stating that they had no intent to pursue action against any individual who crosses state lines to secure raw milk. But this judge's decision at least would support that the FDA has authority to go after individuals.
Yeah, this is nonsense. This is not. When we come back, I want to just mention something, and then we can go into break. We've all heard of Maslow's hierarchy of needs, correct?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, the base of the pyramid is physiological needs, which include breathing, food, water, sex, sleep, and excretion. Okay? If the government can affect our food, our choices of food, what is next? Will they then try to affect how often we have sex, or maybe how often we poop? I mean, I know this sounds really ridiculous, but food is one of the basic needs of the human condition. It should not be interfered with. It should not be tampered with by anyone at all, any human being. If you believe in God, then maybe God has something to say about it, but man does not. And if man can intercede in your ability to choose the foods you want to eat, then the next thing is breathing and sex and sleep and excretion. Make no bones about it. This is true what I'm saying here. I'm not being overreactive or a zealot. Eating is one of the basic fundamental needs of the human condition, and governments have no place in telling us what or what we cannot eat. We'll be right back with more Superhuman Radio.
The most advanced supplement company on the planet, Primordial Performance, comes the new Andro series. Andro Lean is a thermogenic aid that will promote lipolysis and incinerate body fat. Andro Mass creates explosive gains and is highly anabolic. Andro Hard will turn your muscles into granite hard stone while increasing sex drive and maximizing strength. The Andro series represents the most advanced delivery systems available anywhere. These are non-methylated and completely liver safe and non-toxic. Buy one or stack all of the new Andro Series products today at primordialperformance.com. CoQ10 is known to ramp up mitochondrial function. PQQ is documented to increase mitochondrial biogenesis and size. Now get two of the most advanced anti-aging supplements in a single capsule. Brought to you by Dr. Peter Rouse, CoQ10 and PQQ combined will give your body the mitochondrial energy and production that you need. And to make this offer even better, Superhuman Radio listeners get 20% off when you call 310-895-5385 and mention that you heard it on Superhuman Radio. 6-Oxo is back thanks to Iron Mag Lab, the gold standard for testosterone boosting and estrogen reduction that all other over-the-counter aromatase inhibitors are compared to is 6-Oxo progesterone. 6-Oxo is the active ingredient in the new E-Control RX from Iron Mag Labs. Iron Mag Labs has resurrected the beast that has been clinically shown to raise free testosterone by as much as 226%. As men age, estrogen rises and testosterone drops. E-Control RX can help reverse this from happening. E-Control RX is suitable for post-cycle therapy to jumpstart natural testosterone production. Get E-Control RX today. Go to ironmaglabs.com today.
Melatonin is the best sleep aid in the world, but it has one flaw, the delivery method. Melatonin tablets are not efficient and can wear off too soon, leaving you wide awake in the middle of the night. Time-release tablets make you feel groggy in the morning. Now there's the Age4 Sustained Delivery Melatonin patch. This transdermal patch delivers a precise amount of melatonin from the moment you apply it and continues to do so for an entire 6 hours. This ensures a full night's sleep while waking refreshed and ready to go. Visit ageforce.com and use the coupon code SHRMEL and save 50% off your first order. Go to ageforce.com and use SHRMEL today and sleep better tomorrow.
Testosterone is the king of anabolic hormones, and Test Charge is unlike any testosterone amplifier you have ever tried, because only Test Charge has taxadrol, a substance that grows in only one place in the world and is only found in Test Charge. Test Charge will jack your testosterone levels like illegal agents, but rest assured, there are no banned substances in Test Charge. Test Charge is the secret weapon used by IFBB legend Flex Wheeler. And now you can join the pro ranks. Go to AAEFX.com to learn more about where you can find Test Charge today.
When you take real performance-enhancing supplements, your body
body is placed under a lot of stress. Your organs need support. If you had to take a supplement for each of the potential side effects, estrogen conversion, blood pressure, liver protection, cholesterol control, water retention, androgen receptor upregulation, kidney function, and much more, you'd have to break the bank just to pay for it all. That's until Need to Build Muscle's N2 Guard. N2 Guard does all of this and more. It's the only real cycle support supplement that you'll ever need. Look, if your organs are important to you, buy N2 Guard today at needtobuildmuscle.com.
Jumping higher, lifting more. It's Superhuman Radio.
Welcome back to Superhuman Radio. Okay. So, the book is Food Club and Co-op Handbook. I just bought it, by the way. Got it right here in front of me. Why did you write the book, first of all, John?
Oh, well, I started to get phone calls and emails from people across the country who wanted to know how to start a food buying club. And I don't have all the time in the world to answer all these phone calls or answer all those emails. And so some friends of mine at the Farm to Consumer Legal Defense Fund and at the Weston A. Price Foundation encouraged me to just go ahead and write a book. And get something out there that people could use, not so much as like a Bible, but as a guide to developing a food buying club in their own area. You know, another reason is because I hope to see tens of thousands of food buying clubs across the United States, so many of them that the government has no choice but to leave us alone.
So basically, once we hit a certain specific gravity, then the government has to throw their hands up and go, there's way too many people doing this. There's nothing we can do about it now.
Exactly. So, you know, there's a great story regarding truck drivers in this regard, where back in the day, the government tried to regulate CBs.
Yeah, I remember that.
And so they put up all these threatening letters in the truck stops and at the trucking companies. And my dad was a trucker.
I was just going to say that the truck drivers summarily used when they went to the restroom wipe with.
Yeah, and so, like, you know, truckers just don't care. And, right. and that's what average people need to realize, that in our nation, when the government does things that are beyond its authority, that violate the Constitution, we can't look at them and say, stop. We just need to continue going on doing what is right
and growing the population. Exactly.
Yeah.
Growing the population. So are you worried at all that that you will be singled out by large agricultural companies who you threaten to impact their bottom line by teaching people how to start food buying clubs?
I don't know. I don't know how much, you know, for the most part, I don't think they care too much at this point about the individuals in the movement, because they still have such a stranglehold on the government officials and the agencies. You know, so for the most part, their main goal is just to continue to push through things like the Food Safety Modernization Act and the National Animal Identification System,
yeah,
so that in one fell swoop they can get rid of all their competition.
Yeah, yeah.
Isn't it
terrible? You know, last week on Casual Friday we reported on an illegal fungicide that showed up in 6 tanks of orange juice in Florida from orange juice that was imported, I think, from some other country, Brazil. I don't remember where it was from. And mm-hmm. and the FDA, in its divine wisdom, and it's interesting the language that they use, instead of forcing the orange juice producer to throw it all away, which would have cost millions and millions of dollars, I'm sure, they decided to, as they put it, let it wash through the tanks, which is code for let the American people drink it and let it wash through our livers. And, you know, you think about this for a second. So you have one, on one hand, you have a company that has
a stockade of orange juice with a known illegal fungicide in it that is allowed to continue to sell it to American people under the guidance of the FDA, the idiots that they are at the FDA. They're just terrible. The most repulsive, the most corrupt individuals in the world are at the FDA. Make no bones about it. But don't let a person buy raw unpasteurized milk from a local farmer. Don't let that happen. It's disgusting, and we know what you're up to. We see what you're doing, and it's just a matter of time. The FDA needs to be eviscerated. The building needs to be burnt down to the ground once everybody has been fired, and then they need to start all over again with an organization, an agency that does not get its money from the companies that it provides oversight to. That's like letting... I'm sorry?
Yeah, or a company whose, you know, an agency whose heads come from those companies.
Yeah, and if you work for the FDA, you can't go to work for the companies you produce, that you're oversight for the entire period of your life. Can't do it. So if you work at the FDA, you can't go to work for Big Pharma, you can't go to work for Big Agri. That's it. Pick your side and stay there. That's like, what do they call that? If one of our guys in the military decides to go over to the other side and fight against the Americans, what do they call that again?
Benedict Arnold?
Well, yeah, but I mean, you know, you can't do that, right? They'll kill you, right?
Oh, yeah. I mean, yeah, you can't be a traitor.
Traitor, thank you. Traitor. You can't. Well, you know what? The FDA is loaded with skillful traitors. They're waiting to trade up, waiting. Anyway, talk about the book. So what will people learn? What can they get out of it?
You know, in the book, I just give a lot of basic information about, you know, how to evaluate farms, how to find people to be a part of your club, just how to do a lot of the basic setup kind of stuff, you know, how to safely move food around if you're going out to the farm and you're picking up a whole bunch of food for a whole bunch of people. You obviously want to be able to do that safely, you know, how to do basic record keeping, you know, just basically all the different nuts and bolts.
Is record keeping critical?
You know, like for our club this year, we were just under $400,000.
Okay.
And so that's a whole lot of paperwork.
Yeah.
In terms of, because every week
is there money for administration, or is this strictly a volunteer type of a situation? Because I got to believe that someone who's heading up the club stands to some form of risk, either managing money, record keeping, and so on and so forth.
Yeah. Well, you know, the buying clubs are different all across the nation. So I can't speak for them all. There's some buying clubs where people receive a stipend. There's some buying clubs where people receive food. There's lots of buying clubs where the people who do the administrative work are paid for doing that work on behalf of the members. And so that's generally the model I encourage. Because that way you get good people who want to do this job and do the job well.
Yeah.
Because, again, I mean, it's just like, you know, food is more important than the car you drive. Food is more important than the house you live in. Because
right.
You can buy a new car, you can build a new house, but once you've jacked up your body, there's nowhere to go.
Right.
And so I always tell people, like, you know, food should be the number one line item in your family budget.
Right. Right.
And you know, when you're thinking about how you access your food, you want a good person overseeing it.
Yeah.
You know, like when you go to a dentist, you don't go searching for the bottom dollar dentist. How much more for the food that can keep you out of the dentist chair?
You do not want to get sick in this day and age. You do not want to end up in a hospital where you will absolutely contract other diseases while you're there. You do not want to have to be enlisted into the pharmaceutical agenda by a physician. You don't want to be there. And you don't have to get sick. This notion that permeates society today, that everybody needs to get sick. In fact, Paula Deen is supposed to be on The Doctors today. What a perfect show for her to be on, because she embraces her illness and embraces the pharmaceutical agenda, and they are promoting it day in and day out. The poor people who sit there and watch The Doctors, they must have more. They listen to one of those shows that, gee, I have that. Maybe I have that symptom. Maybe I need to ask my doctor about this. They have to be jacked up on every drug you can imagine. That is a terrible show. In fact, I knew that personal trainer Jillian I can't think of her name now, the one that was on The Biggest Loser. Do you know who I'm talking about? Jillian Michaels. I knew she wouldn't survive on that show because she was really espousing real health. They don't want to, they're not espousing health there. They're espousing managing diseases with drugs. Stay sick and take your drugs. So I can see why they'd embrace Paula Deen for sure. Mm-hmm. All right, so people can go and get your book by going to, give the website again.
Foodclubsandcoops.com if they want the ebook, and if they'd like a paper copy, those are carried by the Farm to Consumer Legal Defense Fund.
Okay. And I just got the ebook to tell you the truth. I mean, I'll print it out, but I'm going to read this over and see what I can do differently as well. I think it's important. This may be the only way to get healthy food someday. You should know about it. And for those of you who live in the big city and, you know, the farmers markets are few and far between, and now with the winter, they're just not even coming around, this is a way for you to continue to get good, healthy food all year long. John, I want to thank you for coming on the show today.
Great. I thank you so much for having me. I really appreciate it.
And keep me posted on when we are going to get to vote, when the vote is actually going to happen in Kentucky. I may try to have maybe we could do a follow-up show and have one of the politicians, maybe, what's his name, Stengel? Not Stengel.
Schickel.
Mm-hmm. Maybe we can have John Schickel on the show as well, okay?
Great. I will talk with him about that, and I will keep you posted. And again, any of your listeners in Kentucky, you can go look up the phone number for the Kentucky LRC and give a call to your legislators. It's very important that you protect your access to food.
It'll be on my blog in about an hour and a half. You'll be able to go to my blog, for those of you in Kentucky, and see the exact email that, John sent out. How's that sound, John?
That's excellent.
Okay. Thanks a lot.
Thank you.
Hi, so that's it. Another Superhuman Radio show has ended. Thank you to Coach Wade Johnson and Rob Regish for being on the show today and talking about cardiovascular training. And thanks to John Moody for giving us the update on legislature that is affecting food in the country. We'll see you tomorrow with Casual Friday.
Following page.